John chapter 3, today we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The world needs the gospel. The world needs some good news. Don't you get weary with all the bad news in our world today? Seems like the news media, they thrive on all the bad news. But I'm glad we can come to the house of God and hear some good news. Amen. Glory to God. And God is so good and he's so faithful. And this is the gospel. John chapter 3 today. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say, that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Praise God for his word and for the gospel today. Amen. So Jesus is here introducing the whole idea of what it means to be born again. Of course, he's talking about spiritual birth, not physical birth. Now, physical birth is pretty miraculous. It really is. It's miraculous, but not of your choosing. You know, spiritual birth is your choice to accept and to put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Physical birth is not of your own choosing. You're just born into the world by no choice of your own, but it's still a miracle. It is a miracle. And for me as a dad, all the emotions that come. And when I was a young dad, 22 years old, and they said, you can go in and be in the room when the baby's born. And I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. And so I always had envisioned, you know, the dad in the waiting room pacing. That's what I thought I was going to be doing, pacing and drinking coffee. And but no, they said, you can come in to the room. And I witnessed a miracle. I witnessed a miracle. A little baby girl born to Marcia and I. Now, Marcia did most of the work. but I was there. I witnessed it. And they even said, here, you can cut the umbilical cord. And I'm like, is it going to hurt the baby? No, just go ahead and do it. So I was there. I witnessed it. And it's pretty amazing, isn't it? When a new life comes into the world, it is amazing. It really is. And as a father, you start feeling the awesome responsibility. Not only do you feel, you know, pride and all the joy and everything along with it, but you also look at that little baby girl and think, wait a minute, I'm responsible for this child. Not only to provide for her physical needs, I realize that as parents, what I do is going to have a huge impact upon her spiritual destiny. And how I teach and train her and bring her up in the ways of the Lord. Oh, what an amazing miracle that it is. Amen. When a baby comes into a family, everything is different. Everything is pretty much centered around that little baby, and it's a wonderful thing. So for those of you ladies that are expecting, couples that are expecting babies. Oh, and by the way, Joey and Whitney are expecting two. Can you believe it? Twins are coming. Praise God for double trouble for Joey and Whitney. The only thing that even comes close to the pride and the joy of a baby being born in your family, that's when the grandbabies come. Amen. Now, when the grandbabies come, you do crazy things like Marcia and I have done over these many years. 22 years ago, our first granddaughter was born, and it was on homecoming Sunday. Early that morning, we get the call that our daughter is in labor, and we just dropped everything. And Bruce and Sue Cole were here to preach the homecoming that day, and I just called Brother Cole, and I said, I'm gone. I'm out of here. You're going to have to take care of it. Okay. Because babies take the priority, don't they? They take the priority. And not only that, but we have traveled to Dayton, Ohio, Mobile, Alabama, Anchorage, Alaska, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Montgomery, Alabama, and Albuquerque, New Mexico to get babies. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Every life is precious. Every birth is precious. And, you know, every life may not be planned by the natural parents. I know that there, you heard people say, well, we didn't really plan on this baby to come. But every baby is planned in the mind and the heart of God. Amen. Every one of them are precious in the eyes of the Lord. Now, that's all about the physical birth and how precious and wonderful it is. But even more valuable is the spiritual birth. You must be born again. Amen. The physical birth the spiritual birth, rather that is by your choice, your choosing to put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus and for your life to be changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, it says, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Praise God. Amen. You were saved, and it was first of all in the heart of God. It was by the grace of God, by the provision of our Lord, that you can receive your spiritual birth. Nicodemus, he was a brilliant master teacher. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a member of the, he was a Pharisee. And he knew a lot of stuff, but he didn't know anything about the new birth. He was struggling with the whole concept of a new birth. How does that happen? How do I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? It doesn't make sense. I'm old. How can that happen? And he was just relating to physical birth, but There's something that takes place whenever a person comes into and is exposed to the gospel and puts their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Nicodemus is only mentioned in the Gospel of John. He's mentioned here in one other place in the Gospel of John. His name, Nicodemus, he was a Jew with a Greek name. The first part of his name was Nico or Nike, from which we get the English word victory. Nike, victory, you get it? And then Nicodemus, the last part of his name meant the people. So his name meant victory for the people. Victory for the people. So his parents had a lot of they had a lot of ambition and a lot of hope for him. And he was a Jew. He was a Pharisee, which means he was of a Jewish religious sect that prided themselves in separation. They prided themselves in being, not being contaminated by the world. You may have heard of the term bleeding Pharisees. Bleeding Pharisees. A bleeding Pharisee, that terminology came from the Pharisee that if they saw something attractive like a beautiful woman that they didn't want to look at that person, they would close their eyes and run into stuff. Literally. And would get big bumps on their heads, and they prided themselves in the blood running down their face and the knot on their head, because that let everybody know, I didn't look at anything that I shouldn't look at. It's true. The bleeding Pharisees. And it was like a badge of honor, a badge of religious honor, but it didn't really mean anything. It was all fake, because our righteousness is in Jesus. Amen. And we look to the Lord. And Jesus even condemned the Pharisees, saying to them, you are paying attention to a lot of religious things, religious philosophies and ideas, but you have turned away. You've laid aside the commandments of God. You hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things you do, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So not only was he a Pharisee, but he was also a ruler of the Jews, which means he was a part of the Sanhedrin court, which was the Jewish ruling council that made decisions like a Supreme Court on legal matters. So this really describes this man Nicodemus. He was a very important person in Israel. He was a master of the Jews, which meant he was the teacher. He was the one that they all went to for with their theological questions and to answer all of their questions. And Jesus said to him, aren't you a master? Aren't you a master of Israel? And you don't know these things? Can you imagine the humiliation of this man Nicodemus? And whenever the Lord says, I thought you was a master teacher, and you don't know about being born again? Well, he didn't know. He was an instructor. He was a doctor or a scholar, but he didn't know the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was also, not only was he all these religious things, but he was very proud and arrogant because he came to Jesus at night. He didn't want anyone to know that he had any interest at all in knowing who Jesus was. He came to Jesus by night. He didn't want to lose his social standing. You know, he wanted to make sure that nobody knew. He wasn't comfortable with all this, but his curiosity got the best of him because he heard him teach. And he witnessed his miracles, and he was stirred up in his curiosity and his interest to know more about who Jesus was. Amen. You know, you can know a lot of religious things, but if you don't know Jesus personally, you're not saved. You can't be saved. You just cannot. Amen. John 3:2 says, the same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher from God, For no man can do these miracles that you do except it be from God. So he acknowledged he was from God. He acknowledged his teaching was good. He acknowledged that he performed miracles. He had a lot of good information about Jesus. But you know, there's a lot of religious people that believe the very same things. Even some of the Jews, they believe Jesus was a good teacher, that Jesus did a lot of good works. The Mormons, the same thing. Many different religious groups, they believe, even Muslims, they believe in Jesus. They believe in some of the teachings of Jesus. But they don't believe he's the Son of God. They don't believe that he is the only way. That's the thing that trips a lot of people up, is the fact that we believe that there's only one way to get to heaven. Yeah. Only one way. That's through faith in Jesus Christ. It's that exclusive message of the gospel that trips up some people. Amen. But we believe it. Amen. Also in the text it says that he was the only begotten Son. You've heard that terminology. He's the only begotten Son, which means there was no one like him. There was no one before him or since him. He was the only begotten Son, none other. And so that's why we preach. There's no other way to heaven except through Jesus. It's the exclusive. It's a narrow way. Only through Jesus. Only through putting your faith in Jesus for forgiveness of sins and for your salvation. There's no other way. John 3:3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No other way to heaven. No other way except through Jesus. It sounds pretty exclusive, and it is. And that's why that there are 8.2 billion people in our world, and we have a responsibility to them all over the world. That's why we send Operation Christmas boxes around the world. That's why we invest in supporting more than 40 different missionaries that are going around the world. We have a responsibility. It's why we do outreach. It's why we're not just trying to be good to people. We don't give them coats because we want to be nice to them. We give to them because we want to open their heart to the gospel. We want to do what we can to reach as many as we can, because that we know that that's the only way they can get to heaven is through Jesus, the door. Amen. Praise God. So it's an exclusive message. And I understand a lot of people don't understand that it's only through Jesus. There's no other religious experience. There's no other connection with anything except through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the only way to be saved. Amen. You must be born again. You must be born again. Praise God for the hope that we have in the Lord. John 3:5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Some folks confuse that to mean that by the water would mean that it's only through water baptism. We don't believe that. We don't believe that. Yes, you should be baptized in water in a next step of obedience after you've come to the Lord and gotten saved, but that's not talking about water baptism. It's really talking about the same theme that he's dealt with Nicodemus all throughout this whole story. You must be born of the flesh, born of the water, and of the Spirit. Amen. Without getting too graphic, little babies, before they're born, they're swimming around in their mother's womb. Right? And once the water breaks, then the baby is born. That's what it's talking about. Must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Praise God. Amen. So the only way you can get saved is you've got to be born physically, naturally born into this world, and then you have to be spiritually born again. Praise God, by the power of the Spirit. Now, can you see, how do you know if someone's been born again? Is there evidence of that? Well, he says, the wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born
of the Spirit. You can't see a spiritual birth, but you can see the effect of the spiritual birth. You can't see the wind blowing, but you see the trees and the leaves, and you see the effect of it. And you don't see a spiritual birth, but you see the effect of it in that person's life. That they're different, they're transformed, they're changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you don't see it, but you do see the effect of the spiritual birth. Amen. Now, I believe that we're going to see Nicodemus in heaven one of these days. Amen. Not because he was Jew, not because he was a Pharisee, not because he was a member of the Sanhedrin, but because of his other mention in John's Gospel, chapter 19. You remember the Joseph of Arimathea who provided a place for Jesus to be buried? Well, he had a partner. John chapter 19, verse 39. There came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never a man laid. So along with Joseph of Arimathea was this ruler of the Jews, this master teacher, this man that was too proud to come except at night in the cover of darkness. But now he's a public disciple. Now he's coming and he's with Joseph of Arimathea, and he's there to help prepare him for the burial. And so it's obvious that Nicodemus, the gospel broke through his heart that night. And he heard it and he was transformed. And he was a different man, and he was there when Jesus was crucified. Praise God. And he was there when Jesus was buried. Glory to God. We'll see Nicodemus in heaven one of these days. Praise God. Why? Because he was born again. He was born again. He understood it. He received Jesus by faith and put his confidence in Jesus as Lord and Savior. You must be born again. Amen. Coming to church, is that enough? No, it's good, but it's not enough. Coming to an altar and praying, is that enough? No, it's not enough. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Amen. Glory to God. Something has to happen in your life. There has to be a transforming work of the Spirit of God in your life, and you have to be transformed and changed and made new in Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's seven reasons why you must be born again. This is not from me. This is from another preacher that I read after. Seven reasons you must be born again. Why? Number one, God loves you. Number two, Satan wants you. Number three, Christ died for you. Number four, judgment faces you. Number five, hell awaits you. Number six, heaven is calling for you. And number seven, eternity is warning you. Praise God. Praise God. You must be born again. There's those in this service today that you're not sure of your salvation. You're not sure of where you stand with the Lord today. You don't have to walk away from this meeting today without an assurance. Amen. Praise God. Nicodemus had a nighttime encounter with the Son of God, and he was convinced, and he put faith in Jesus, and his life was changed from that day forward. And so can you, amen, be changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Would you pray with me now? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the glorious, blessed experience of being born again. And Lord, I know that even a child can hear the gospel and can be born again. It makes no difference your background, your past, your age. None of these factors make any difference. You must be born again And you must put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because you care and you love and you're reaching, Lord, for those today that don't know you as their personal Savior. Praise God for that. Would you stand with me, everybody, across this building today? Now, I know I've not told you, not anything that you don't already know, likely. But there might be some of you here in this meeting today, and you're just not sure of where you stand with the Lord. You might be here today out of curiosity, like Nicodemus came to Jesus. You're just wondering, could Jesus really make a big difference in my life? Could he really change my life? I want to assure you on the authority of the Word of God today that yes, he can change your life. He can change your future. He can change your eternal destiny. Praise God. But you got to be born again. It's the only way. I know it's a narrow way, but it's a glorious way. It's a wonderful way to be born again of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And so I want to just welcome any of you here in this service today that you're not really sure of where you stand with the Lord. You're not sure of your salvation. I want to invite you to come to this altar here this morning, just as everyone else in the church, as you're all coming, gathering in around the front today. And if there's any in this meeting today that you're not certain of where you stand with the Lord, this is a good day. This is the day of salvation. This is an opportunity for you to call upon the name of the Lord. So could we all just gather around the front here and just take a little time.